Hello, I'm Peter Robinson, one of the co-founders of Ricochet.com, coming to you today to tell you about an exciting new partnership that Ricochet has formed with an organization known as, remember this name, Donors Trust. Donors Trust. If you're already familiar with Donors Trust, you know what wonderful work they're doing, supporting the principles of liberty through charitable giving. And if you're not familiar with them, well, just listen for the next few moments. I'm about to be joined by Donors Trust's president and CEO, Lawson B. Bader, who's going to tell us a little about himself and about Donors Trust. Lawson, welcome.
Well, thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Lawson, briefly, what's Donors Trust?
We are a charitable philanthropic operation, what you might describe as a mission-focused community foundation whose client base is nationwide, who care about our clients being principled in their giving and specifically supporting their efforts to promote limited government, personal responsibility, and free enterprise.
Donors Trust gives money away to organizations that promote the principles of individual liberty. Have I got that?
That is correct.
In some ways, go ahead.
No, we are really a donor advised fund, and that's sort of the operating phrase, which are more common these days. So our clients open accounts with us, and by doing that, they then advise on how Donors Trust makes recommendations and makes actual grants. So it's their money, but it's really our money, so it's a partnership. But we only make grants based on those principles that I identified.
Okay, and I just want to use, you inhabit a world that has its own terminology, and I just want to be clear about this. When you're talking about a Donors Trust client, you're talking about someone who gives you money to dispense to good causes and good organizations. The client is the person who gives you the money. Is that correct?
That's correct. Because we are actually a 501c charity. So we are in many ways a recipient of funds. It so happens that these funds are then used to, again, make grants. So yes, it's a funny relationship. So many of the nonprofit community might say my donors, and that's correct.
Right. Right.
But while these people are my donors, it's really a partnership. Where we are ensuring and promoting and helping them be more philanthropic and just providing a mechanism, which happens to be a donor-advised fund, right, that simplifies some things.
Got it. Listen, you yourself, as best I can, it seems as though we must have met, but I don't remember it. If we did, we met in the misty past. And yet I'm looking over your resume here. Good Lord, you served for 16 years at the Mercatus Center at George Mason. You served for several years at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. So what this says about you is that you know your way around the conservative world of thought and principle and teaching and action.
And yet I do, and I might even know where the bodies are buried too.
And yet you grew up in Marin County. You grew up right out here in my neck of the woods. I'm in Northern California on the peninsula. You grew up on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County, which even by Northern California standards is pretty liberal. So get me from Marin County to Donors Trust in the life of Lawson Bader.
My wife is always humored when at a dinner party, inevitably the conversation becomes, oh, where are you from? And actually, I was born in Washington, D.C., which in and of itself is a unique experience. But yes, I will say, well, I used to live in Northern California. Oh, whereabouts? Well, you know, near the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, well, whereabouts? In Marin County. Just to watch the next expression of how did you ever turn out the way you turned out? The simple answer are two things. One is I was involved in observing how land protection was done in Marin County by wealthy people who like to use other people's money to promote their particular interests.
Right.
And frankly, the hypocrisy and even the paternalistic nature of it at a young teenage mind struck me as exactly that, paternalistic and hypocritical. At the same time, I was fortunate to spend several summers or several different opportunities in East Germany when it was actually East Germany and East Berlin. And being in a actual communist country with everything related to that, brought me to a simple realization that no institution, public or private, has the authority to control the human conscience. And no economic system is as averse to human flourishing as the one that destroys your and my sense of worth and stifles our incentive to experiment and grow. And those two things in tandem made me realize I have a bit more of a libertarian conservative streak to me, and that became part of my vocation.
Got it. I love the idea that it was a close study of liberals themselves. You're sort of the Diane Fossey. Who's the one? Gorillas in the Mist, Liberals in the Mist. It was a close study of liberals themselves that turned you into conservative. Listen, I have to ask some version of this question because as of about 12 hours ago, we sit in Donald Trump's America.
Yes.
The election of Donald Trump, Republicans keep the Senate, they keep the House. Republicans have 33 governors. They have a majority in one or both houses of state legislatures. Frankly, I can't remember that number, but it's well above 30. What does this mean for donors' trust and for the notion of individuals giving – in other words, I guess what I'm saying is, can we all just relax and go home now?
Well, the first phrase that comes to mind is be careful what you wish for. And I think the Republican Party in Washington will have some interesting conversations these next few months. To a certain extent, philanthropy is at our core, and philanthropy and promoting a civic society is most important. And to a certain extent, that needs to be promoted without regard to who happens to control the government. Now, can you say, well, Hillary Clinton is no longer president, therefore, or no longer would be president, therefore, giving will change? And I don't think so, because there is still a great divide among, let's call the conservatarian community, with a shifting of alliances. And I think that will reflect in charitable giving. Certain groups that might be seen as more pro-Trump versus anti-Trump are still part of that center-right coalition. And there are some frayed emotions to be sort of understood.
Right.
And if you think of Donald Trump as really a half New Deal populist and a half arch conservative, in a way that Bernie Sanders was, as a friend of mine sort of pointed out, half Ron Paul and half Donald Trump. So the traditional left-right spectrum doesn't make sense anymore. And I think you'll find people's giving will reflect that. So it is a period of uncertainty. I do think it may bode well for state-based think tanks, where I think a lot of the action is still going to happen.
Got it. Listen, so let's talk a little bit about, let's be very practical here. Mm-hmm. Ricochet has several thousand members. We know we have tens of thousands of listeners to our podcasts. And it's my general impression from exchanging emails and getting to know our members at meetups and so forth that Ricochet folks are doing well enough, but we don't have any we don't have any billionaires. Come to think of it, we just started a book, a podcast on books he's read by Charles Koch. So we have one billionaire, but he's a special case.
He's a special case.
So what can people of ordinary means who still would like to be generous to causes that they believe in, how of what use to people of ordinary means could donors trust prove?
Sure. The thing to remember is most people choose donors trust for a variety of reasons. And a lot of it has to do simply with the reduced administrative burden that comes from having an account with us compared to a private foundation. You don't have a lot of receipts. You don't have end of the year checkbook writing. So there's a lot of simplicity to it, but it's also easier to do than people might realize, nor, as you indicated, is it something that's only for, quote unquote, the financially elite. In our case, to open an account of Donors Trust is nothing more than simply get money to us in a variety of ways, whether it's securities or actual cash. And the only requirement we have is at $10,000, and you can build to that $10,000, but upon having $10,000 in your account, you can begin to make grants. You don't have to maintain $10,000. And so the bulk of our accounts are by what you and I might consider far more modest means than the billionaires of the world.
Okay. So ordinary still giving away $10,000. This might be people in the second half of their lives, or
it's probably the second half. That's right. Or think about people who tithe to church or give to synagogues.
Right.
That is very much part of the Donors Trust community. So it's not simply, if I open an account with Donors Trust, that means I'm supporting only policy organizations. While that is a bulk of what we do, we're about promoting a free and prosperous and civic society. That includes civic institutions, arts, education, et cetera. So many our clients do that too.
When you say that you're a donor, or I beg your pardon, I think we've already cleared this up, that your term is client, client-advised or donor-advised trust. What does that mean? Let's suppose then that I've got an account that's reached $10,000. I'm ready to start making grants. And I get to choose from a list that Donors Trust provides, or how does this work? The reason I'm with Donors Trust is because I want to advance principles of individual liberty. We agree on that, Donors Trust and I. But how do I decide who gets the money?
We do not try to play a role of choosing, let's say, winners and losers. We instead stand by our overall principles. So in general, we will not make grants to any charity, for example, that receives more than 25% government funds. And the charity must in some way promote those ideals that we see of limited government, personal responsibility, and free enterprise. But if they're not a policy group, if they are successful, it means that free enterprise is promoted, government doesn't grow, and we see personal responsibility increase. So that's why it's beyond the policy group. But we don't say to our clients, here's the list, choose. They recommend to us based on their own interests, their own research. In many cases, they may have 5 or 6 groups already that they'd like to support. And as long as those groups are already part of our principles, then frankly, it's a very simple mechanism for them to recommend grants.
Got it.
In other cases, they may say, you know, I've just inherited some money, I've just sold a business, or for whatever reason, I am choosing to be more philanthropic, but I would like your advice on whom I might consider supporting. And so that would begin a conversation. So we'll advise in that area. But we really rely on our clients to be the donor advised on suggesting groups to us.
So if I get to $10,000 and I have 3 institutions that I already know, they do good work, they advance principles of liberty and so forth. Donors Trust there will be some kind of due diligence that you'll do to make sure that they do what I think they do. And at that point, I can just say, give them each $3,500.
You can. The minimal amount that we make a grant in is $100.
Got it.
And it can be as high as, you would like it to be based on your account. And the mechanism is either you pick up the phone and you call. There are only a few of us, so you do have a certain, you're going to get a human being when you pick up the phone.
Oh, that's very important. I'm actually going to get somebody who knows what he's doing.
That's correct.
That I can talk this over with.
That's correct. Exactly.
Well, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal.
We will certainly provide an account online, so you can actually send in an email request. You can even fax in a request. I mean, that technology still exists. So it's a very simple process, but you're correct. We will do a very quick due diligence to ensure that the potential grantee is consistent with our mission. And as long as it is, there's a simple process that we approve the grant and the check is dispersed very quickly.
Okay, so let's take it the other side. So I've got $10,000 and I have groups in mind. We can talk about that and we can give my money to those groups. But I suppose I come to you the other way around. I mean, I think I mentioned a moment ago, half jokingly, Mr. Koch, Charles Koch, and he employs people to do due diligence and to find deserving organizations and so forth. But I come to you and say, look, I've been working hard all my life. I've been reading Ricochet, listening to Ricochet podcasts. I read National Review. I read the Weekly Standard. But to tell you the truth, I just don't know that much about this world of giving. Will you then make suggestions? Will you serve, so to speak, as my family office?
Sure. That's exactly what we will do. Because and it's very important that one of the most important reasons why we exist is not just the sort of simplicity of the mechanism or to be mission focused, but to also ensure donor intent.
Lawson, another couple of questions, though, for for somebody who doesn't have a family office, who's somebody who's not a billionaire, person of ordinary means who wants to do some good with his money. And all these IRS scandals during the Obama years here, everybody still remembers those. And what about this notion? How seriously should a good person be about remaining private? And give, in other words, if I give to conservative causes, do I get myself in trouble with the IRS? Do I get myself in trouble with anybody? How worried should I be?
I think there is an unfortunate trend these last 10 years that are misunderstanding the role of privacy in civic society. And I do think that you are correct. We've seen that manifest itself with the IRS scandals. Even though those have been in the sort of the C4 PAC world, a lot of it comes out of the Citizens United decision at the Supreme Court, where you see a great deal of sort of interest groups that are putting pressure on privacy. It is an important issue to us. It is an important issue, I think, to the larger movement, because it is, at the end of the day, a philosophical conversation. As my friends in the State Policy Network like to say, you know, transparency is specifically for government. Privacy is for citizens. Mm-hmm. And when we see pressure put onto individuals, or I should say groups, to reveal who their donors are, that is essentially an attack on free speech and free association. People need to remember that one of the most influential political treaties in American history were the Federalist Papers. Well, mm-hmm. the Federalist Papers were written anonymously.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And that there's a reason why it was done that way, and there's a reason why it was effective. And so I think you're seeing playing out in the political world a frustration oftentimes coming from some progressive groups who feel that the money trail is leading to decisions that they find difficult. And so they are turning this conversation into one of, if you are associated with that group, therefore, you have no privacy, and they are opposed to all efforts to sort of keep anonymity as part of the conversation, which I think, frankly, is a dangerous attack on civic society and philanthropic giving.
But to be clear about it, if I want to give anonymously, Donors Trust will enable me to do so.
That is exactly right. One of the benefits that we offer is, and it's really your choice, mm-hmm. if you choose to give privately, then we will do that. So a grantee would receive a check from Donors Trust in a certain amount, and it would say, this is from an anonymous source. You are welcome to send me a thank you note, and I will ensure the individual gets it. But that's the end of it. Because people don't like to be on mailing lists. I mean, we have to remember that people choose to give anonymously for different reasons. Some of it is religious. That's very important that they remain sort of humble.
Right. The way
the widow's mite was, and others simply don't want to be on a mailing list to get direct mail, to be harassed. And that's a perfectly valid reason. And if you think about it, an organization like Planned Parenthood does not want to be in a position of having its donor list released to the public.
Right.
We see the kinds of things that happen. So this is not just a sort of center-right concern. I think it's beginning to be a larger issue.
And one other question now. If I have, suppose I'm getting in touch with Donors Trust on behalf of a deceased relative who left some money and left instructions that it was to be given to promote individual liberty, how does Donors Trust, of course we're talking about a smaller scale here, but I think of the Ford Foundation, mm-hmm. one rich family after another where a founder who was clearly dedicated to liberty, free markets, and so forth, set up a foundation that moved to the left hard.
Yes.
And how does Donors Trust help donors, families, and so forth prevent that from happening?
As I mentioned, this is really the core of why we were created, was to avoid what we saw as a drift among Fords and Pews and Rockefeller foundations. Each of our clients, our donors, as you say, provides us every year a very detailed description of who they are and what they believe and why they believe and what they support. And our promise is to maintain that from generation to generation. But we actually sunset every single account because that is itself sunsetting, that is, a way of ensuring that there's not drift 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So if you have an account with us upon your death, and we have many of these, we will then look at your history. We'll look at how what our relationship has been. We will then sunset that account, but we will ensure that your gifts remain continuing to the organizations that were important to you. But we will also monitor those organizations. And if we see drift in those organizations, we have the authority to actually stop making grants to those organizations. So we will monitor in your death or on behalf of your family. That is the promise that we make. That's the trust part of Donors Trust.
So Donors Trust, you need only $10,000. Donors Trust makes giving easy. Paperwork is minor. You permit people to give money anonymously if they wish to do so. You're perfectly willing to accept donors' choices about the recipients, as long as those recipients fall within the realm of individual liberty, free markets, and so forth. But at the same time, you're more than happy to help donors find such institutions, and you make darn good and certain that there's no mission creep after a client or a donor dies. So that sounds like a pretty good deal to me, Lawson. How do Ricochet listeners and members find out more about Donors Trust?
Well, the simplest way is just to go to our website, which is donorstrust.org, or give us a call at 703-535-3553, and we'll answer the questions. But the easiest is just go online, and our emails are there, and contact us, and we will be happy to have that conversation.
Donors Trust, all one word, donorstrust.org. And for this campaign, for your work with Ricochet, I think we're asking people to go to donorstrust.org/ricochet.
That makes sense.
Excellent. Do you think it's easier to remember if we say donorstrust.org? No, that's probably not in keeping with the spirit of this at all.
Now Lawson, we're back to Marin County.
Lawson, thank you very much. Lawson Bader, President and CEO of Donors Trust, thanks for joining me, but also thank you for partnering with Ricochet. We'll be talking more about Donors Trust on all of Ricochet's podcasts over the coming weeks. But again, in the meantime, if you'd like to learn more, go to Donors Trust, all one word, donorstrust.org/ricochet. Lawson, thanks again.
Happy to do it, Peter. Thank you.